Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvel Movie Society. I know, you're always going to get me. You're always going to get me on that.
I don't even know how you can say that every week with this. Well, you don't say it with a straight face.
I love.
He barely says it.
I still love it. I'm still a fan. But
you're the one. That's you. That's like that name and Doctor Strange. Like you've got both of those things covered alone.
That's I'm the only one doing this.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome back to our seventh show of the year, 2015. How many is that for
this
real?
This is episode 20.
20.
Woo-hoo. No, 20 weeks.
20 weeks of this nonsense. This wonderful nonsense. We are the Marvel Movie News, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. You can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube Popcorn Talk Network, or on PopcornTalkNetwork.com. I'm Matt Key, at the Matt Key.
I'm Meredith Placco, at M Placco.
Matt Cook, at Matt Cook Tweeted.
And we have Erica Ishii with us in the house today. What's your Twitter, Erica?
I'm at Samurai Erica.
Nice.
It's something that I thought was really cool when I was 13.
No, Erica with a K, right? No,
yes.
Okay. Just want to clarify that for our audio listeners.
Yes.
Very good.
Samurai Erica with a K.
Tell us about yourself. What are you up to these days?
Acting, geek hosting. I just recently did some video game news hosting for a website for a while.
Yeah,
and I also do improv around LA, specifically in a Harry Potter themed improv group.
Which yes. sounds fantastic.
What's the name of the troupe?
It's called The Show That Shall Not Be Named. We're also on Twitter as The Show That Shall.
The Show That Shall. Dot, dot, dot. That's awesome. Yeah, you have a great group of cohorts. I still haven't, since I'm still so new to LA, I haven't gotten a chance to come out and see you guys, but I'm really excited.
Well, I'm glad.
I just found out about it. Like, I want to come see this.
Yeah, do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, so we have a residency at the Clubhouse in, I guess it's Los Feliz area.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's going to be the last Saturday of every month.
Okay, cool.
Great.
And we open for the Bearded Men, which is Dungeons and Dragons themed, which is also
That is a solid night of nerd improv.
Oh, yes.
Nerdprov, is that what it's called?
Nerdprov.
Hashtag nerdprov. And then we've got Jete on the couch. Say hi, Jete.
I'm shocked.
Jatarvis. That's right, Jatarvis.
I never heard of Harry Potter improv before. Like, I want to start like a Goonies improv or something.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that just sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Would you be? Which character from the Goonies?
I mean, it's got to be Chunk, I guess, right?
You could be Mal.
I got to be Chunk.
You could be Mal.
You know what? I'm going Data.
Data.
It might be offensive to some people, but I think I could do it.
I would be Data. I love Data.
Oh, man, he's the best. What happened to that kid? He did Indiana Jones, Goonies, and he dropped off.
I heard he's like a DJ now.
What? That's awesome.
He's got all these piercings
and
everything.
No.
I just wanted that to be true. I don't know if it actually is.
You know, he's actually doing like real estate somewhere.
DJ Data? So.
Yeah.
DJ. Yeah. Well, Chunk's like a lawyer, I think.
Yes.
Amazing.
Which I learned after hanging out in Arizona this weekend. Apparently, law is a natural progression from young actors. They go, I was hanging out with one of the Red Power Rangers who practices law now in Arizona. Yes.
Wow.
And then one of the comic book gentlemen, Charlie Soule, that we talked to, also does law.
Huh?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. We're glad that you're here. We're going to jump right into it with...
Oh my!
Is everything okay? Did I hear?
Something is
my
just...
leg.
Oh no!
My leg.
Figure it out. We're on the air.
Steven Arvis in the booth broke his leg.
Yeah.
So we're gonna jump right into it over at Fox, where we have Deadpool casting news.
Not just rumors, guys. Confirmed.
It's confirmed news. It is not just a rumor that Gina Carano or T.J. Miller or Marina Baccarin. Will be on the show. They are actually going to be on the show. Let's see what
in the movie. You maniac.
Sorry, am I using the wrong words?
They're no, here what? Right now.
Suddenly, we have I'm like, hey, surprise guests.
We've also got Ed Skrein and T.J. Miller, who I believe have also been confirmed.
Yeah, you said T.J. Miller, I think.
Did I say T.J. Miller?
Yeah,
I don't know what I've said.
You keep saying T.J.
Miller. I'm excited about T.J. Miller. Like, he was fantastic in Silicon Valley. Like, he stole that entire show.
Yeah.
And I'm
oh
excited
my god,
to see
I just
him.
Realized that's how I know him from.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So the speculation is that he will be playing Weasel.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the thing is that he specializes in kind of slacker and stoner mm-hmm. characters with that cadence that's like, hey, man. Like, I know him from a lot of like Gravity Falls and Big mm-hmm. Hero 6. He played those characters.
Yeah.
And Weasel, the breakdown says he's like fast talking. So that's going to be interesting.
But with a name like Weasel, I kind of expect him to be a little bit. I don't believe that's T.J. Miller's picture we're looking at.
That's Ed Skrein.
Yeah, we go up. I was like, yeah. There we go. So
there
yeah, T.J. Miller.
Look at that guy.
He looks like a character named Weasel, though. I mean,
he looks
a little
like. He looks
like
a weasel.
Yeah. Wait,
we can buy that.
I don't think that. I don't think he looks like a weasel.
He looks like he could be called Weasel.
I think if we just give him some Adderall. That'll help him go a little fast, and we'll be good. On this. I think do we know he's confirmed as Weasel? Is that what
he has been confirmed as Simon.
Okay,
but
Simon.
The workup on Simon is that he's quirky, great sense of humor, smart, funny, but more than a little bit slippery, fast talker, always looking to make a quick buck.
I could see him playing that type of character, though.
I can see him playing Weasel.
I like him a lot. Jatarvis.
There was a great meta moment where you could have cast Pauly Shore, the Weasel, as Weasel.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I'm a 90s DJ guy.
I don't think anybody would watch the movie.
I would watch the movie.
Pauly needs it.
You would watch Pauly Shore in a Deadpool movie?
Yeah. And hear Deadpool talking about the fact that Pauly Shore is in his movie. You know what I mean?
That would be a good super meta. Yeah.
That would be super meta.
What I think is interesting, though, is that they said that he's being T.J. Miller's cast as comic relief in the Deadpool movie.
Because Deadpool needs comic
relief.
Right?
Like, that's strange to me. Like, I don't know. That struck me as a little.
Because the whole film will be.
Well,
comic.
Guys,
it's
presumably
really dark and gritty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, guys, Fox is gonna go in a really different direction.
Yeah,
with this, they really want to bring a new type of Deadpool in. It's gonna be, it's gonna be along the lines of Fantastic Four. It's gonna be really, like you said, dark and gritty.
He's gonna be in a containment suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what all the fans want to see at this point.
The red and the black eyes. That's gonna be his containment suit because his cancer is so out of hand.
Yes.
That he could infect the entire world with cancer.
That's true.
That's actually Deadpool's power in this reboot.
Spoiler alert!
Sorry, guys.
So, I hope everyone's looking forward to Cancer Deadpool. did that come out wrong?
I don't know. I mean, anytime you say cancer, it comes out great. Yeah. It's always fun. Especially on a comedy show.
Yeah, the big fan.
It kills every time. Literally! Not every time.
And then Ed Skrein is being said. Am I saying that correctly? Skrein? I think it looks like Skrein. They were making fun of me earlier because my handwriting
was
so bad.
We have a little whiteboard you guys can't see that Matt sloppily writes on.
And it looked like we were supposed to be researching E.J. Skrem.
You guys are jerks. You guys are such jerks.
So we don't know what his name is or how to say it, but...
Ed Skrein.
Ed Skrein.
That's him.
He was the first Dario from Game of Thrones.
Yes. Didn't they recast him, though? Because there was some potential issues with his attitude on set.
Yeah. I don't remember hearing any of that.
That was what all the Game of Thrones rumor blogs had said, that he was a little...
Not
abrasive.
Easy to work
abrasive.
With.
Abrasive. Yes.
Well, that will be perfect because they're saying he will be probably playing the part of T-Ray.
T-Ray?
No,
I thought you were going to say T-Rex. I was
not
like,
T-Rex.
I want to see Deadpool versus a dinosaur.
I also would like to see that. But he is any ethnicity, early 30s to early 50s, big, muscular, dangerous, violent, vain, insecure, and more than a bit of a dick.
Yes, that is Ed Skrein.
He is going to do so well in this
I know.
Part.
Yeah, so,
it's written
but saying,
just for him.
The it's not confirmed, but the rumor is that he will be playing T-Ray.
Okay.
And then they're also looking for an African-American, late 60s to early 80s, worldly, great sense of comedic timing, sarcastic, dry. They're saying that's going to be Blindell.
Okay. That's good.
Which will be fun.
I'm curious to see who they get with that.
And Gina Carano.
Gina Carano.
I thought she and Liefeld made an announcement at Comic-Con that she was supposed to be Evangeline at one point, right?
Yeah.
Really?
In 2013.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean that it happened. It just means I don't remember.
Yeah, well, they were just like, oh, it's going to happen.
You didn't remember. Yeah. And apparently none of the nerdy news blogs
have
it, because they're all like, Domino. It's like Domino. Or maybe Copycat, but Domino. And I'm like, I do remember the Evangeline news and maybe one of our viewers.
But now they've also got Marina Baccarin, who's confirmed.
Right.
So like,
and
it's most
confirmed as the romantic lead.
Yeah.
So it's most likely she'll be Copycat or Domino if anyone's going to be either one of those two characters.
Right.
Which, by the way, which one do we think? Are we saying Copycat? Are we saying Domino? Are we saying Typhoid Mary? Who are we saying is going to be?
Oh God, I want to see Typhoid Mary.
I know, how cool
so
would that be?
Bad. Okay, so just based on like looks, I can see Carano doing Copycat more.
Yeah.
But if Marina is going to be the love interest, I think they're going to be love interest.
I do too.
And I think Domino is just going to be, I mean, I don't actually see them bringing in Domino. I just don't see that.
So can we say what Domino's power set is real quick?
Lock.
She's a mutant, right?
Yeah, she's a mutant.
For anybody that doesn't know.
Probability manipulation.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Which could be kind of cool to see in a film. Like,
yeah, but it's also hard to, I just don't see them, going where they are with this, I just don't see them using Domino. I can see them bringing in, I also remember at Comic-Con them mentioning that Typhoid Mary was going to be in it as well. So,
I missed that one.
Wow, the audio keeps cutting
out.
Can I just say something? I'm not real familiar with Deadpool's like character set. Mm-hmm. Like all these guys, they sound good, but I don't really know who they are. Are they all enemies to Deadpool? Because as far as
everyone's
I know,
an enemy to Deadpool.
Everyone's
okay, because he rides that line between good and bad, so he doesn't have like a main villain. There's no like, every comic book character kind of has a main villain. Does he have one?
Well, I think Hitmonkey's up there, but that's just because I love Hitmonkey so much, and I don't think he's a main villain. He's come in and out.
Yeah, who would you say is Deadpool's main?
T-Ray.
That's who I've always seen.
Yeah, T-Ray's kind of the big one, and I haven't seen him in any comics recently, but like when Joe Casey was writing him in the late 90s and everything, T-Ray was always around. Copycat was always kind of the love interest.
Yeah.
So is T-Ray rumored to be in this movie at all? Do you guys
T-Ray's the big rumor for the villain now.
It's just interesting because even though they've had a Deadpool solo series going for a couple of years now, it was always kind of Deadpool versus himself in a lot of ways. I mean, there were some villains and stuff, but they did the whole, like, you know, they had Deadpool and all the different versions of Deadpool, like Lady Deadpool and Dogpool and stuff like that. It was just a really disjointed series, and I think if they're going to draw anything, I think they're going to draw from the 90s run of Deadpool.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what they've been working with a lot, so. I haven't seen Blind Owl a lot lately either, but, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do, because, yeah, he's sort of an anti-hero, and in a lot of ways, like, an anti- character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many conflicting...
It's a good way to put it.
You know, he's like, there's so many things going against him, including himself. He's got multiple personalities, and the narration, his inner dialogue is always conflicting with different points of view and all that stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they can streamline that in a way that's presentable to an audience. And do they have him doing three different voices in his own head or whatever? Or do they have different people and different accents? I don't know. Like,
what if all these actors are just different voices?
That's a cool idea. I like that idea.
It'll be interesting to see how they pull off the whole, you know, breaking the fourth wall meta kind of thing. Like, I'm excited about
they're
it.
Going,
I really
they're going
see
to.
That,
I think, I mean, that's the beauty of Deadpool is that you get to write an anti-Hollywood movie in a lot of ways, you know? It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think I'm really excited. I think the writers and the cast are going to have a whole lot of fun on this film, and I know they're making it for the fans.
You know what would be cool? Is if there's, like, a joke in the movie, and then the movie cuts to Deadpool sitting in a movie theater, and he's like, oh, shit, that's us! You know what I mean? He, like, starts grabbing people, and then everybody's like, wait, where is he? I'd be like,
that's the Deadpool movie I want to see.
At some point, I definitely want him to do, like, at the end of Spice World. I don't know if any of you guys saw Spice. World.
I watched
like,
this morning.
Like, in the Spice World, like, then you'll remember that at the end, the girls are all like, oh, look at her in the theater over there. Not you, the one behind you.
Yeah.
And, like, just addressing the audience.
Yeah.
And that's definitely
like
going to happen, right?
Like at the end of Scrooge, when Bill Murray's like, what are you still doing here? Get
out
of here.
Exactly.
I can
so
see
good.
Them doing that, though.
I think they'll do that all throughout.
Yeah, Deadpool's going to be yelling at us.
Yeah, he'll
be
yelling
at us. Specifically us.
Yeah.
In the comics, is a lot of Deadpool's dialogue inner monologue?
Yeah.
He has no filter.
Okay.
He just says whatever he wants.
Oh, okay.
He'll just like kind of go off. So his inner monologue is projected outward for everyone to hear.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he knows he's in a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sorry, this Deadpool in the movie, we'll know he's in a movie.
Yeah.
And we'll probably take advantage of that in some way. Like, oh, well, in a movie, the hero always does this, and this is where he always goes. And
Wayne's World keeps coming to mind, because in Wayne's World, they kept breaking that fourth wall. And yeah. He's like, can you believe this? My best friend left me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And then when
Scooby-Doo ending.
What's his name? Married with Children gets the camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, hello, only we can talk to the camera?
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill, yeah.
So good. And then if we have Copycat, mm-hmm. her character, Vanessa Carlyle, she is more or less like Mystique.
Yeah.
So
she's a changeling type character.
But I read up on her a little bit this week because I was like, I don't remember ever seeing her a whole lot. And she changes on a genetic level. Not just appearance, but she can change on the genetic level and ape powers.
Interesting.
Well, and at one point she shows up as Domino too. And there's like a whole run where you don't know it's her.
So and then she's like, "Ha, Domino is actually not Domino. I'm Copycat." Yeah.
Oh.
So maybe Gina Carano and Marina Baccarin are playing the same character.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Ba-ba-ba.
But for me, the most exciting thing is nothing that's been confirmed, mm-hmm. which is the idea of Colossus maybe making an appearance in this movie.
Yeah, and it's not going to be Daniel Cudmore.
Yeah, he confirmed that it won't be him, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, I'm bummed that guy never got a chance to really be Colossus.
But we never got to know him to feel one way or the other.
Right, and I mean... I love Colossus is my favorite X-Men. He's one of my all-time favorite characters.
Oh.
Yeah, I brought him in. He's here today. He's here with us. But... I hope that, I mean, there's a lot of chat going on the message board about Colossus and who would we want to see cast as Colossus.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if I have an actor in mind.
I don't.
I'd like for it to be like Dolph Lundgren from Rocky and be like, I must break you. You know what I mean? I'd be like,
Where's that from?
I would love that. Like, but I hope he's Russian and I hope they get into his character a little bit. And I also hope that he just gets to be amazing. Like, I hope he gets to, like, knock Deadpool's head off. You know what I mean? And he's like, wait, this guy can heal from anything? By the White Wolf! Boom! Like, not, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to put him down. Like, if Deadpool's on the wrong side of it, Colossus is caught in the middle of something and he has to, like, armor up and then...
It's interesting to me they're choosing Colossus. Of all the characters, like, why would you bring in Colossus into the storyline?
I think because he is the complete opposite tone of Deadpool. You know what I mean? He's a mutant, which matches up, but Deadpool is like a super ball. He's like boom, boom, bam, bam, boom. You know what I mean? Of everything and anything.
Yeah.
Colossus is like subdued, reflective, quiet.
Very introspective.
Yeah, like I think that, and all, I think, heart. Like he's a very emotional character. So I think he's a great counter. He's a great straight man.
Kind of like Red Heat, Jim Belushi, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
I think that's probably what they were thinking.
So
when
we can get that and Spice World, we'll be set. That's the movie we want.
Yes.
Great.
I was just going to say, I think also Colossus is a good idea. Instead of like digging in deeper into Deadpool's characters, they're digging into the X-Men characters to find a way to cross them over, because all the casting news was like must be available for three sequels, and I think the sequels includes X-Men crossovers, not just Deadpool
sequels. I don't think the natural fit would be like, hey, let's just shoehorn Hugh Jackman into this movie,
which
somehow,
I'm glad
not
doing.
I know, as much as I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, I kind of need a break.
I think we need a break from Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Because, like, if he does a Wolverine 2, that'll be 8 films or something like that. He's been a Wolverine.
He should go, I don't know, go to his house sometime. Go home. Go say hi to the wife and kids. See what's up.
Disagree.
How's a little, I know.
I want Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in every X-Men movie.
No, he's fantastic. He is fantastic.
We don't want him as Wolverine in every X-Men movie.
Exactly.
We don't need to see quite as much Wolverine.
I just think it's such a different and diverse casting, character choice to bring in Colossus, because I'm sitting here trying to think how many times has Colossus interacted with Deadpool, and I can't think of any scene in my head.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't read a lot of the Deadpool one-shots or, series, but I'm pretty versed in my X-Men, and,
I think the only time Deadpool's ever shown up with Colossus would be in any X-Men books that he's been in. I don't think
the recent X-Factor stuff, maybe, when Colossus was on X-Factor and stuff, after, like, Schism and all that stuff.
God,
and
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I can't recall any comics where there's been a crossover between the two.
As long as we get a fastball special, that's all I can
That was about. The first thing I thought of!
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, oh, they're going to do a fastball special with Deadpool, and he's going to get smacked against the wall, and, like, everyone's going to be like, oh, he just died.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like...
He doesn't have adamantium bones, so it's just, like, the complete opposite. It's totally ineffective. He's just getting hit with, like, a tomato.
But, like, a Deadpool-sized tomato.
Tomato, yeah. It's just all squish.
All right, casting. Who would you want to see?
I don't know. I've been trying to think. Do you have any ideas?
No idea. It's tough because you need like someone to do Russian accent, but it's built.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of actors like that.
I know.
I'm wondering if they're going to go the route of like we've been picking wrestlers. You know,
Brock Lesnar?
Yes, Brock. I was thinking Brock Lesnar.
Is he too old?
Yeah, he's
Too old. He is. Who's? I don't know any of the new guard. I haven't watched WWE in like 8 years. So
I have no idea.
Because I was like, John Cena? Is he still no?
I mean, yeah, you need somebody massive.
But I will say that on the boards they're saying Omega Red, which is one of my favorite. Characters of all time.
Of all time.
I loved Omega Red. What is that face? You look so sad and disappointed. I love Omega Red.
Why? Explain to people, because
explain who Omega Red is and then explain why.
Omega Red is this character who is like very much kind of like the Winter Soldier in some ways. Mm-hmm. He was created as a Russian super soldier. And he was given these tendrils that can like drain your life if they get around you. And the tendrils are... not adamantium. They're like an alloy below adamantium, but I can't remember what it's called.
It's like I don't remember.
I can't remember, but it's an alloy right below adamantium. And he was like one of Wolverine's biggest enemies in the 50s and 60s until he was deep sixed into like some like cryogenic chamber like the Winter Soldier was. So, and it all came out in X-Men 4. And the big reason he's one of my favorite characters is because I own that comic.
Well,
it's one of the first comics I ever bought.
Good one to have.
Yeah.
I wonder though if maybe I would love to see the next Wolverine movie deal with Omega Red.
Arkady Gregorovich. That's his name. Yeah. I'm looking it up. I don't know. I can't see the thing. I don't know thing is.
Well,
who was Cyber? I think
Cyber?
Remember that
with the adamantium arms?
Yeah. And the claws and the neurotoxin and stuff like that. There's like a bunch of like Wolverine villains that all kind of like circle around he's part of it.
Mid-90s kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Anyway,
Carbonadium.
Carbonadium. Thank you.
Okay.
But I don't casting wise for Colossus, I'm not certain.
It's tough.
Who would you guys want to see, Kat? Oh, go ahead. You keep going.
No, I'm still thinking. Yeah, no, guys at home. There's an actor, and I wish I knew his name, but he was on a recent episode of Blacklist, and he kind of played, I think, like a Syrian or Armenian bad guy, and he's kind of big but I don't know, there's a charm about him and I really liked it, and I could maybe see, but he's also too old. I feel like we need someone young.
Yeah, I think they'll do some like a younger version, because that's what they're doing with the other X-Men movies. If they want to do any crossover stuff,
Army Hammer, maybe if he hit the gym he might be able to pull it off.
He could pull it off.
Yeah, I think he might be able to do it. He's tall, he's got the blonde hair, he would just have
to get a Russian accent.
So, okay, man. Maybe for Omega Red with the blonde hair, okay, but for Colossus,
we can't dye hair.
So, yeah. No, we can't dye hair. He looks all crazy.
I was thinking of Drago, the other Russian.
Yeah,
I think Army Hammer might be able to pull it off if he hit the gym.
He'd be great. I like him a lot. Any ideas? So deep in thought.
I'm trying to think. Like, we don't know how big of a role he's going to have in the movie. Because if it's just a cameo, I want someone huge and terrifying, like the Mountain on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I love the Hound.
I know.
Of those guys.
Yeah, any of the big guys on Game of Thrones could
monsters.
Probably pull it off.
The monsters from Game of Thrones could pull it off.
Yeah.
Any of those monsters.
Yeah.
Are you listening, Marvel cast of Game of Thrones monster?
Yeah.
Hey, I still want my
MTV?
No.
Oh, yeah! Killing it today, Keith.
Before they announced BC as Doctor Strange, I was pulling for the Red Viper of Dorne to be...
Oh, my God. No, my top pick, too.
I
oh, my God. I yeah, Pedro Pascal. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to see him in everything
Colossus?
Right now.
No, he can't be Colossus.
No, he cannot.
Can we have Pedro Pascal in a Marvel movie,
please? I want him to be in the Marvel.
Who would he be? Do we want to make that our question of the week?
Yeah, we should make that. I want it, because we always reverse cast. We always say, what actor should play this character?
Done.
I want to ask them.
I'm going
to
write it down. We're going to make that our question.
Morph. He could do Morph, probably.
Oh, my God.
Is that wrong?
Get out.
I don't have anything to throw.
You said Morph. Get out of here.
Well, Morph's like a very...
No.
No, that's wrong.
No. All right. So we'll think about who can play Colossus.
Yeah, and I hope it's actually in the movie.
Yeah, I hope it's not just a rumor. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I'd love to see Colossus done well.
Well, let's jump off of Deadpool.
Dunweller.
Dunweller.
I'd love to see more of him.
Yeah. Let's jump off of that and move over to X-Men Apocalypse, where Cody Smith-McPhee has been named as Nightcrawler. I didn't even know that Nightcrawler was going to be in it. I was hoping he was.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah, I get like a text from Cook like around 9 o'clock. Oh my God, they cast Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody Smith-McPhee. He looks like Nightcrawler.
He does.
He looks like he's going to kill Nightcrawler.
He looks like he could be the actor who played Azazel's kid.
Oh yeah.
Like he straight up looks like that character. Like this is like amazing casting. Yeah.
Well, are they going to make him German still though?
Oh yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen Cody Smith-McPhee do accents. Or well, I guess he's Australian, so American is the accent.
Yeah.
He does.
The accent,
never mind. Yeah. I retract my
comment. Maybe they'll just hire him a good dialect coach.
Yeah.
He's got like some time to learn the accent. I think he'll be fine.
Just send him over to Germany and let him absorb it. Like at that age you can pick up things really heck, I can. That's how I get all my accents, just hang out in an area. But look-wise, he looks perfect. Now,
he looks perfect. And he's really thin.
I liked him in things that I've seen him in.
What else has he been in?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and he was in The Road. He was like
really young, though, right? Yeah. But he was great.
Yeah. Those are the two that I know him from.
Was he in the remake of Let Me In?
Yes.
Yep. That's why we have him on the show,
Jatarvis. American one. Actually,
yeah, he was in the... Yeah.
So, I think... I'm really excited. He looks...
You think you're excited.
He looks great. Yeah, because there are two very different versions of Nightcrawler. And there's the one we know from the movie, X2, which is sort of like religious and reflective and brooding. Yeah, and like just like kind of soft-spoken and sweet. But then the original version that Claremont brought to us is like a swashbuckling rogue. And he's like charming and fast-paced and has swords, and he can use a
sword
with his tail.
Still, like, religious a little bit. Yeah. But not so much.
But he's also more like, it's time for adventure. Like, he grew up watching, like, Errol Flynn movies and stuff like that, and, like, that's what he's built his, like, persona around. And I think it's way more fun, and especially when he, like, is trying to be sweet to women and he scares them, you know what I mean? And, like, he, like, shows up, and Kitty Pryde. Pryde of the X-Men is great. Like, that, I love that version of
Nightcrawler. Well, yeah, like, even in the original comic books, like, Kitty Pryde is afraid of him.
Yeah, takes her a long time.
Like, yeah, he's like the sweetest one to her, and she just cannot wrap her head around it.
And that also is when we start to kind of also see that break with him, where he really starts to become that more introspective character too. So I think having this Cody play, you know, a young, fun Nightcrawler who is aware, you know, of his appearance, I think this actor can really pull that off.
Yeah.
Like, I want the fun Nightcrawler so bad.
And it's interesting, too, because Chris Claremont's currently writing Nightcrawler as that. Like, he went away from that character. And now he's like, no, let's bring Nightcrawler back to what I made him. You know what I mean? Which is, like, a fun-loving, like, big-hearted adventurer.
And it's great because now he doesn't have to worry about heaven. He knows the answer to that, so he can just continue living life. But even then, there's been some really dark moments where he has to question life and everything, because he's like, I was dead, and now I'm back, and what does this all mean? And I traded a part of my soul away to come back.
Yeah.
And yet he still puts on that... I think that's what I love about Nightcrawler, is at the end of the day, no matter how bad things are, and he's aware. Mm-hmm. He's not one of those characters who's oblivious. He knows, but he puts on that smile to make everyone feel better.
Yeah.
And that's why I love like Nightcrawler so much.
Yeah.
I think one of the great things about doing this time jump, like in the past, they did the same thing with James McAvoy. You saw a different side of Charles before he became this wise guy in a wheelchair. He was this guy at bars picking up girls. And now you could just take Nightcrawler and it could be before he found that path and he could just be the swashbuckling guy. So that's a good thing about the way they structured these movies.
Yeah. I agree. And I hope that's the way they go. But it's Bryan Singer. He likes a little more subdued and
gritty.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Grittier.
Well, Quicksilver was pretty fun in that.
Yeah, he was. So that's true.
That's a good point.
I was not expecting
that. That was the best sequence in that whole entire movie.
There's no reason to go to it.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, that was worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
And that's like X2. Like, whenever I think about X2, I actually don't remember if it was a good movie, because I can't get past the first 10 minutes of Nightcrawler just like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah,
bam,
I know.
Bam.
And the music, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So perfect.
Like, I remember the bamfing in the White House, and I remember seeing like the outline of the Dark Phoenix in the lake and thinking, I cannot wait for X-Men 3!
And then
you could. Turns out you could.
I mean, the School Invasion for me, that's the most Wolverine I've seen.
It's
Wolverine.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
would
even.
He's doing his heightened senses. Like, he here, you know what I mean? Like, that is the. Yeah. He stabs the dude in the foot and, like, rips him off the ground.
Picks him up while he's shooting a machine gun. It's like.
Jumping off the balcony, like, second floor.
I want to go watch it now.
I know.
It's really great.
Yeah.
And even the stuff at the end with the dam and all, like, the. Like, Phoenix, like Cyclops, getting on and blasting at her, and she's and that is what
I mean.
The
it
power.
Was it was the scene recreated.
Yeah. So good,
so good. Anyway, so Nightcrawler, real excited.
Yeah.
But we've also, speaking of Apocalypse, we've got a little bit more. Bryan Singer teased this artwork.
Oh shit!
Now I will say it
that's
feels
Wolverine.
Like. Do you think that's Wolverine?
It looks like Wolverine to me. It looks like shirtless Wolverine.
I feel like they blurred. I think it's not blurred out. In the original, I think it's blurred out for like the mass distribution of it, because they don't want to give away too much, but they still want to give us something to excite us.
Oh, the blurred out to me looked like energy.
It does, and it looks good, but you think that was like the artist's original intent? Because I looked at that and I was like, oh, they're blurring this part out so that we don't know.
Sometimes it's really
vague. But it is weird because you have some hyper-rendering on the one side and all around and it is blurred there. But it could also just be that they haven't established what that character is yet.
Yeah.
That they just kind of did, let's just do a...
And it could also just be like there's like some like invisible plasma energy coming out of the jet that looks like that blue like
and
little jet
that,
up at the top.
Now, we are in agreement. That's the Blackbird, right?
No.
No.
It's like
ship. It might be.
I think it's the Apocalypse. What did he call it? The resurrection ship or whatever he has.
Right.
Yeah.
The purple is what for me is like that's Apocalypse.
And that's why I think it's Wolverine. Just given.
You think they're going to take him and make him a horseman?
Well, if they're not going with.
I think it's Apocalypse. Just for the sole reason that I'm getting a close look at it right now.
Yeah.
And he's like wearing armor and a helmet and it's gold and I feel like it's kind of Egyptian still Apocalypse.
Really? It's hard to see from here.
Oh,
that's
maybe
what
that's
I assume.
Him discovering.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all alien tech, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a mutant, but like a lot of his power comes from, I think it's what it's Celestial. I think he makes deals with Celestials.
Sorry, I have to pull this up on my phone to look closer.
Oh, yeah,
I agree with Steve. When I saw this online, I thought it was just an early version of Apocalypse. He's not quite the Apocalypse you know, but it's early Apocalypse finding some of his.
Yeah. That could.
Do you
that
think could, they're gonna have a lot of the young Apocalypse in it? Because they already kind of teased that in the last in the.
I think it will start there, and there might be a flashback or two. But I think a majority of the movie's not going to be that. Yeah, like it'll probably be like, hey, here's a little bit of context for why he does what he does and why he wants what he wants.
But, I hope the first 10 minutes before we even see X-Men is just. Egyptian times.
Well, that's the first X-Men movie when they're in the concentration camp and you learn who Magneto is. It's like that sort of thing.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Proven to be very effective and very intense.
Yeah, I know. It just came out.
Oh, cool.
So, in looking for this picture, I actually came across Cinema Blend with a thing saying Evan Peters has all but confirmed he'll be reprising his role as Quicksilver in X-Men Apocalypse before he then adoringly deflated in confusion and angst because he was worried he'd said too much.
Aw.
So,
I thought it was already confirmed that he was coming back.
No,
I don't think it was confirmed.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever confirmed.
Peter's made these comments while talking to I Am Rogue. He says, I think so, yes. I assume it as well, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say, and I'm not supposed to. I haven't seen his script. He's so adorable.
Breaking news, he's just been fired.
Aww.
And he's been sued. They shot him.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Was there a high-speed chase?
No, they just went up to him and shot him.
How are the
turns out he doesn't actually have that power.
Our buddy, You're a Towel, wrote,
You're a towel.
I like how Quicksilver in Days of Future Past had his Walkman playing in full speed while he ran in
slow-mo. Oh, man. People keep complaining about that, but come on. Yeah. It was more for the scene, not for his headphones.
But then he said, did he speed up the Walkman? And I was like, there you go.
There you go.
That's how I justify it when I watch the film.
Like with Walkman, you can fast forward and still hear that. And that would be normal for him.
Yeah.
So that's exciting about Quicksilver because we all want to see him.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Absolutely.
But I was like,
no, that's exciting.
That was the right thing.
But going back, so are we saying we're saying Apocalypse, right? We're all in agreement.
I think that's a great call.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Moving on. So we've got a very long quote from Mark Ruffalo talking about the Hulk in Age of Ultron over at Marvel. I will read it out real quick. Be patient with me while I read this. There's a battle going on between these two opposing egos that live inside him. He's definitely worried that the day is going to come when the Hulk is the best of him and maybe won't release him, maybe won't give him back. The Hulk knows this too. There's a moment in here where he begrudgingly decides to go back to Banner. Who knows where these things will go? But as Bruce is able to impress his will on the Hulk, going into the Hulk and being able to going inside the Hulk when he's raging, the Hulk's will is also growing and able to impress on Bruce. That makes for some wild things. We're laying the groundwork for that here. Here's the whole reason I read this whole thing. It'll be interesting to see if that ends up being what would be the next Hulk movie.
So someone's come to Mark and said, we want to do a Hulk movie.
Well, there's been plenty of fans and everything else, but like, if he's saying that, it feels like Marvel has come to him to say, hey, maybe we're doing this, you know?
Yeah. What I'm excited about, because Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk has been my favorite incarnation of him.
He was great in Avengers.
But I love the idea that they're going to go with this, that eventually we see a fully realized Hulk, where we see Bruce, or at least a sentientness in the Hulk when he's in that form, right. And maybe we actually see a rageful Bruce. And that's one of my favorite characterizations of the Hulk, when he has that realization that I can speak and feel and talk, and I'm not just this raging mass, and Bruce has to actually deal with his demons.
Yeah.
It would be compelling for a standalone movie. And as I was saying earlier, you know, the rule is every couple of years we get a new Hulk movie.
Brand new one.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting dynamic to bring to the character, because we, you know, they play with it in the comics, but like to see it on screen would be fascinating.
One of the only complaints I've really heard from people about the Avengers films and the mainly in Avengers, because you don't really have time to break down a character in Avengers, is that everyone is kind of a flat trope. You know, it's just, I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying this is what I've read, is that some people feel that these characters are just very one-sided, and to see them bring out, you know, a Hulk, especially maybe in Age of Ultron, that we do see a more dynamic realization of this character is going to be really great.
Yeah. And like currently in the comics, like he's Dr. Green, Doc Green. So like he's like completely exorcised Bruce Banner from the whole equation. Yeah. Now he's like hyper intelligent, time traveling, like Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, and that's almost more terrifying than him just like as a blind rage monster.
Did he turn to Doctor Who? What am I hearing here?
No, he's going by a new name.
You know, okay.
Doc Green.
I want to see him and Beast team up now.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, the Doc Green and Beast. But they would probably hate each other. They would just get on each other's nerves.
I think they hate each other in the comics.
I know, but I'm just saying, but they would just get on each other's nerves. Unlike
no, they're both the Illuminati in the new Avengers.
I want to see the sitcom where they have to share a lab space together.
Exactly.
Along with Stark, and it's like the trio of lab bros.
And you know, in the beginning, the little bottom promo that they have on other shows is them like shoving each other and like going like this.
But Beast would be a great lab partner, because he'd just be on the ceiling. Like, you never bump into him and stuff.
That's
true. Like, hanging
but he gets that blue hair all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. It's a contamination issue everywhere. A lot of love on the chat for Planet Hulk, the book.
Which
if you guys haven't read, you should. There's also a little love for the animated version, which I don't like as much as the book. But it's cool, and they do a nice thing a little differently in that when it comes to a big fight. They swap out a character, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But Planet Hulk is great, and people are saying maybe that for a Hulk movie. Hmm. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun, and there's a lot of rumor that they're going to do what the Illuminati did and launch
Hulk into space
at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, so that's what we've been saying.
So there's speculation on that. I guess we're just going to have to wait until May when it comes out, but I don't know what that voice was.
I don't either, but I can
see Cook making fun of me.
I just didn't know who was here. I was like, who's on the mic?
If Hulk goes to space, is there a possibility of a Guardians Galaxy maybe kind of crossover?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Probably. Though I don't think that they would do Guardians 2 with
no,
that.
No, I'm talking down the road.
We'll just see him flying through space at one point.
Oh, my God, that would be the best Easter egg ever.
He'll just, like, run into the Milano and, like,
just keep on going.
Just bounce off the windshield.
What was that big green monster?
They have to windshield wiper him
off.
Because that's the kind of movie that Guardians of the Galaxy is.
And Drax will make some very literal commentary about it, and it'll be great.
And then Rocket will go out and shoot him. And what can you do when you're in space and you're the Hulk? You just have to kind of float away.
Can he even breathe in space? guess.
But the Hulk doesn't need to breathe. I think he can hold his breath indefinitely. Otherwise, the Hulk could be killed by suffocation.
Unless he starts to suffocate, which makes him angry, and then he gets tougher, and then it keeps going like that.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's a good theory.
He's Marvel, take it.
Yeah.
He's a Mobius strip. I think that's good. That's exciting.
I want a Hulk standalone.
Nothing over at Sony, but we've got a little bit of news out of Netflix. We've got the first three episode titles for the Daredevil release.
That's awesome.
They are Into the Ring, Cut Man, Rabbit in a Snowstorm. Take and run, guys.
I love this title, Rabbit in a Snowstorm.
I know. Yeah. I think it's so cool. Yeah. Like, what is that? What is that even going to give us? Like,
what?
Just look at me.
Yeah, what do you got,
Chitara?
From those titles, I do wonder if they're going to have a lot of flashbacks in the show.
Yeah, so
when
his
father was a boxer.
So
I'm like, Cut Man? I mean, I'm putting those two together, but I'm not as well versed as Daredevil. Really, all I know is I've read one Frank Miller graphic novel, which is great. It's one with Bullseye fighting the church.
Yeah.
And I've seen the movie, so I'm really interested to see how much. If they're going to play it kind of like Lost, where it's like the episode's playing and then every once in a while you just have a flashback of when he was a kid, I'm curious to see how that works out.
Well, I think it's interesting if they're going to go with like a theme in titles where some shows like Hannibal does, you know, food theme titles. Right. And if they're going to go with almost like a, if they're choosing to go with a couple boxing references for all the titles overarching, I'm not super big into boxing, so I can't tell you if Rabbit in the Snowstorm is a boxing title.
No, that's based on like this riddle, or not really a riddle, but it's like when you're a kid, you hold up just a blank sheet of paper, and they're like, what is it? And you say, it's a rabbit in a snowstorm.
But obviously, then it's the theme I'm seeing is childhood.
Yeah.
We see Into the Ring, which is in Cut Man, are two very obvious boxing references, Rabbit in a Snowstorm. You know, so if there's an overall theme of childhood that is going to centrally shape Matt Murdock. I'm curious.
Yeah, like maybe that's where like
shows are smart.
Yeah, like the themes will be centered. Like we'll really get access to the themes through his childhood, and then watch how that's all played out in his adulthood in the episode.
Yeah, I really feel like that's a smart way to kind of do an origin story without having to.
Yeah,
let me ask you guys something because I'm not really familiar.
No,
with
please
the
do, Jarvis.
I'll just do in the movie, they showed, like, he goes to see his dad. He's a boxer. Was that close to what happens in the comics? Is that pretty close? As far as, like, how he gets his powers?
I barely remember.
How
does he get his powers in the movie? I don't remember.
He's running away, and he, like, there's an accident at, like, a factory, and a bucket falls on him.
Just a bucket.
Literally, like,
his head, and he's like, wait, I do better if I can't see.
Was it, like, balanced on the top of his doorway or something?
I think, like, a forklift was moving it.
Yeah, something like that.
It was very Toxic Avenger.
And in the comics, I believe it's, like, a car accident.
Right.
Like
a
truck, like, is driven by.
I think he saves an old man from getting hit.
Yeah.
And then he saves someone's life, and then he ends up taking the hit from this, like, this truck that's getting rid of toxic waste.
Yeah. And the toxic waste splashes in his face.
Him. And that's how it heightens his stuff. And his dad is murdered for not taking a fall.
Yeah. That part.
Yeah.
And so that's really the defining aspect of his father and his relationship, is watching a man constantly in his career be beat down and keep getting back up. And I think that's what they kind of show in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like at that last scene of him getting up and the blood coming out of his mouth and it's raining. Like, he's got the snot kicked out of him, but he still gets up.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting to me. I think that the most important aspect of his childhood is watching a man never give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that man being his father, and then he ends up being punished for never giving up. And
there's that great scene in the trailer where he gets up and the blood's coming
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to beat down,
so good.
But he's still getting up.
Yeah.
People are pointing out on the chat that there's a segment, and I can't remember if it was the trailer that we saw on Netflix, or I think it was also the one at Comic-Con where there's Kingpin's looking at the blank canvas.
Yeah.
And it says it's a rabbit in a snowstorm, and so that's like third episode
Really?
Of Kingpin,
okay,
so that gets introduced possibly.
That makes sense.
And that makes sense because he's typically dressed all in white too. So,
smart.
That is well done, Marvel movie news fans.
I know,
movie lights,
everybody.
Marvelites.
When this thing drops, I'm just gonna not leave my room for 13 hours.
Oh, I know.
I
can't wait.
Yeah. I just tear through it.
That's what somebody is saying. I'm gonna pace myself. I don't know if it was one of us or it might have been a friend.
Not me.
It might have been someone else. They're like, I'm going to pace myself. I'm like, well, good for you.
No, we should just go in the theater next door and have like a 13-hour viewing day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll have snacks. Yeah.
We'll have every guest we've ever had come in. And just that would be awesome. So also out just about 3 hours ago, some new Jessica Jones casting. Mm-hmm. We've got Erin Moriarty, who's playing Hope, a young girl who becomes a client of Alias Investigations. Will Travel. I believe is his name, who's playing an NYPD cop who takes protect and serve very seriously. But the one I'm the most excited about is Eka Darville. Is that how you say his name? Eka Darville, who's playing Malcolm, whose own journey will intertwine with Jessica's quest in a surprising way. I think what they're referring to is a character named Malcolm Powder, an alias, who is like this high school kid who's like obsessed with Jessica Jones and like shows up at her door one day and is like, I'll intern for you. I'll work for free. I know all this stuff about superheroes. Please let me work with you. And she's like, no. And for the whole first half of the whole series, she keeps sending him away every single issue. Like, no, what I do is dangerous. I don't want a high school kid following me around. But then he ends up proving his worth in the end. And she's like, I've got to kind of keep you around now.
Kid.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to see that as like a slow burn. Mm-hmm. And so every single episode, you get a little bit of him until finally. Yeah.
Till finally, she just happens. Has to say yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited about that.
That's awesome.
And the other two are just, you know.
I know.
Great casting.
When you said Hope, I was like, oh, God, I hope they're not bringing in Hope Summers. Like, they couldn't. They couldn't.
They couldn't. Yeah, exactly.
Besides Daredevil, real quick, what show are you most excited for? Is it Iron Fist, Luke Cage, or Jessica Jones?
I cannot wait for Iron Fist. I'm excited about Daredevil. I'm excited about all of them, honestly. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man. Iron Fist.
Yeah, Iron Fist. I mean, it's also the one that I'm most worried about because it's the most distant as far as like reality go. You know what I mean? Like Jessica Jones seems to be very grounded. Even Daredevil seems to be very grounded in reality.
They're all very,
very small, especially compared to the cinematic universe. But Iron Fist is like a mystical person who can harness his chi and make his, you know, and
he punches out the heart of a dragon.
Yeah, it's like a big deal. It's a very different.
And I think that's why they're building up to it, because that way, if these do really well, they'll get the budget they want to do Iron Fist.
Yeah, I didn't know Iron Fist had that much mystical kind of powers.
Oh man, he learns how to power his chi and everything else in the mystical city of Kun Lun, which appears on Earth what every 9 years?
I had ten in my head.
Yeah,
but so in the books, it's basically the Iron Fist character is Danny Rand. His father is a multi-billionaire or whatever, and he is obsessed with finding the mystical city of Kun Lun, and he takes young Danny and his mom up into the Himalayan mountains.
Mm-hmm. Himalayans.
Yeah.
And he forces them to like keep walking. They're going to find it. It's the time in however many years that it lines up, and everybody dies. All of it, their guides turn around, whatever, and his dad keeps pushing them, and his dad dies, and then it's just him and his mom, and then him and his mom get caught by wolves, and she basically throws herself at the wolves so that he can run away, and it's this like terrible, awful thing, and then this kid who's lost and alone and freezing to death stumbles upon the mystical gates of Kun Lun, and they take him in, and then he learns to be a martial artist, and they treat him as one of their own. And he grows up with all these other kids that have only ever lived there, and he's kind of an outsider, and he's like this like young kid with blonde hair, and everybody's like, get out of here, who are you know, and he makes a friend and all this stuff. Matt Fraction's Immortal Iron Fist is one of my absolute favorite books.
It's fantastic.
One of my favorite artists.
I'm not sure what the budget are in these shows, but Marco Polo, which is a new show on Netflix, sounds very similar in some ways. Yeah. So I feel like they have that kind of budget, they could start off like that. Also, he has magic when he uses his martial arts.
It's not as much. It's not as much magic. Mystical. It's mystical, which sounds like a silly thing to argue.
No, but there is a difference.
But he's able to harness his energy and create unbreakable. Because
he has the soul of
Shao Lao.
If it's half as good as The Last Dragon, I'm sold.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna move on to TV real quick because we want to talk about Agent Carter. This if you haven't seen it, there will probably be spoilers.
For
but,
those listening, that was me, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, keep it together, man.
We want to talk about Agent Carter real quick. This week's episode was insane. It was insane. I loved it. It was so good.
So, like, they gave the Chief such a good arc. Like, such an arc. Like, from the beginning, he's kind of a two-dimensional, like, 1950s boss man.
Yeah.
And then they just rounded him out so well and gave him such an amazing, touching backstory. And which, a lot of it, he kind of worked in himself, by the way, apparently.
Really?
Because there's not a whole lot to draw from in the comics for him. So, yeah, he just builds a lot of depth for this character. And then they kill him off.
Yeah.
It was spectacular. It was a spectacular, noble death. But I was looking forward to seeing his continuing relationship with Peggy Carter.
Yeah, I was too. And when the episode started, I remembered seeing we talked about this earlier. I remember seeing the trailer last week and the explosion. And when the episode started, I was like, Oh my! Like they're treating him with so much, like they're giving him a little bit more than they usually do. I was like, I bet he ends up sacrificing himself at the end.
That's
with
why
an explosion.
You never watch the previews.
I can't help it. I have to watch them. Like I'm okay with that because it's fun for me to figure that out at the beginning and then see how they lay it out. Because you know I want to be a writer, so it's fun for me to see that from the beginning. But there is like a trade off for it. But it was like I loved it. And we were talking earlier also about how the men in the show like are not like. They're not villains.
Yeah, like, they're not cookie cutter.
They're
like,
certainly chauvinistic.
Chauvinistic,
but
like,
that's
men.
Of the
but
time
it's,
period.
They're victims of the time as mm-hmm. well. And Agent Carter. One of the fun things to see is Agent Carter taking that on, and them not being jerks. Like, I mean, they're jerks because they're chauvinists, but they're not
right.
villains. You know,
right.
like they're not like. Just colored
just
over
like,
as bad guys.
It's just they do a good job of showing that sexism is an endemic in the whole society,
yeah.
mm-hmm. as opposed to just like just these guys are jerks or this is all wrong. It's
yeah.
just that's how it was. It was just pervasive at the time.
And I really appreciate that that's how they're handling it because it's showing that the way that you defeat the big bad of sexism is just by changing it, like over time, and the way Peggy inserts herself and shows like, hey, no, I can do everything you can. I can do it. In fact, I kind of did it better.
Yeah.
And then you see that give and take of respect, you know, that especially with the last week's or no 2 weeks episodes when at the end when she went to go have drinks with everyone, it's like,
right.
like I, for some reason I relish in those small victories. Like I don't need to have her go and punch misogyny in the face. Like this is
yeah.
from this time period, this is how it worked. And I don't know. It makes me really happy to see that.
Absolutely.
It makes me, I'm sorry. Go on. I should say gives me, like, when I hear my mom talk about what she did growing, like, in the 60s and 70s in the computer world, I now imagine her as Peggy Carter in the same, like, position, you know?
What did your mother do?
My mom's a programmer. She, like, worked for and helped develop some of the first, like, database technology, like, out there. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so my mom is Peggy Carter, and now I understand all the things she talks about. But I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the whole episode was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good, and it was... Oh man, the ending was so brutal. It was so brutal. Yeah, really uncomfortable stuff. But I have to say that I was surprised. I thought that they would kind of drag out her being the double agent and her hiding from the SSR mm-hmm. the entire season. We'd get a whole season of that, and then maybe in season two, you know, that
but
was
well,
one of
season
two
still not confirmed.
Yeah.
So they're going to wrap up season one, with maybe like just a hint of a cliffhanger that they
right.
can then address in S.H.I.E.L.D. if they need to,
right?
Or address in Agent Carter. That's
fair
my
enough.
Guess.
Yeah.
But I am interested to see how this ends up wrapping in the S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, if they're going to do anything with the last episode, I think they're calling it Valediction. Like,
mm-hmm.
like is there going to be a tag at the end? Like, and here's how it wraps in the S.H.I.E.L.D., which is next week.
Right.
You know, so.
No, yes. Is S.H.I.E.L.D. picking up the week after Peggy Carter?
I think so.
Okay.
It premieres the first week of March, which I think would fit.
Yeah.
So.
And when do we know? When are they going to make an announcement whether or not it gets picked up for
Comic-Con,
a second
I would assume.
Maybe Comic-Con.
Oh God,
I think I know. Like, I hate to bring DC into this, but DC, like Constantine, is repitching a mm-hmm. second season in May,
right?
So you know, maybe Agent Carter ends up pitching in May, June. Like they figured that out over the summer. I don't know.
I think Marvel has an idea of what they want. They also might just be worried about oversaturation right now. But I don't know. I'm enjoying Agent Carter way more than I have with S.H.I.E.L.D. And
yeah,
I think I haven't checked the numbers. I know the numbers went down. On the third episode, but I haven't checked by the numbers since then. But everyone's talking about it. Everyone loves it.
I know. And we've like at my house, we've mm-hmm. been doing our best to watch it legitimately and stuff because we want.
Yeah, you
want to
give them the ratings.
You know?
I have very much enjoyed S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. has really come to life for me. But having watched Agent Carter, now I'm like, oh, I kind of care to go back to S.H.I.E.L.D. now, like which I hate. Anyway, we've got to move on. We're running out of time. So the question of the week next week for our Wizard World question of the week is going to be, who should Pedro Pascal be in a Marvel movie? However, moving away from that, now you have that question.
Yeah.
We'll post it later today, and you can join our Facebook. And
there's already two really good ones that came up on the chat. That
is it really?
Yeah,
nice.
That made me be like, oh, they're both awesome.
What are they?
Someone said Forge.
Oh, he would be a good
That's
Forge.
That's what I meant to
oh
say
God.
Earlier.
Really cool,
I said,
right?
I said Morph.
Forge.
I said Morph.
Yeah.
I meant Forge.
Oh.
I meant Forge.
Yeah, yeah.
Forge would
you
be great.
You see his face light up, and you're like, yeah, that's what I meant to say. I meant to
no,
say
no. That's totally, because he's in Days of Future Past in the cartoon. That's why I was
Yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one was Mr. Sinister.
Those are both great.
Those are amazing.
Well, please please put those up on our Facebook page whenever we get that question asked. In the meantime, though, we've got a contest for two free Wizard World tickets to any Wizard World show in America. The question was, if Daredevil was not an attorney, what company would he own and what would it be called? We narrowed it down to Sticks and Steins, Murdoch's Mutts, The Devil's Due, Tax Returns, Three Blind Mice, Extermination, and Murdoch's Driving School. Well, we put the poll up, and it is tied.
Whoa.
30% each to The Devil's Due and Sticks and Steins Pub.
Wow.
So... Do we now vote? Do
oh,
we have
gosh.
To vote? Do
oh,
we have
tiebreaker.
To? Do we have to be the tiebreaker
yeah,
now?
Yeah, we have to be the tiebreaker.
There's five of us.
Because it's tied. The others got votes. Like it was a good contest. Three Blind Mice, I guess, came in second or third. I don't know how to say it when
yeah,
it's
well,
a tie.
Well, if you notice, but, there's okay. So Devil's Due and Sticks and Steins got 30%. Coming at 19% was Three Blind Mice, and then Murdoch's Mutts and Driving School came in at 11. But
yeah.
Okay, all right, our producer is he's saying go finish wrap
all
it
right,
up.
So who's saying Devil's Due? I love Devil's Due, so I'm saying Devil's Due.
I like the Devil's Due because also the tagline at the end.
Yeah, Devil's Due giving you the best tax returns without paying a kingpin's ransom.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's unanimous.
Yeah. It's unanimous.
So, and no Sticks and Steins pub.
I love it. I
love it.
I'm going there after this.
Yeah.
All right, so. If we are the tiebreaker, which I think we have to be, then the Devil's Due wins, and the Devil's Due is Drew Walker.
Congratulations.
So, Drew, we will be reaching out to you over Facebook and trying to get your information from you.
His
so be looking
Walker?
For that.
All of
Drew
it.
Walker.
Yeah. You can text me your social security number and your home address, please.
So, anyway, that's our show. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations to you, Drew Walker. Special thanks to our prize sponsor, Wizard World Conventions. They're in Cleveland this week, Chicago Fan Fest the week of March 7th and 8th, and then on to Raleigh in March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Please don't forget to subscribe to our show, Marvel Movie News, on iTunes or on YouTube or through the Popcorn Talk Network, or you can find us on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Do we have any final thoughts before we take off?
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Jadarvis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
this was awesome. We had so much fun with you. Yeah, thanks for being here. All right, well, that's our show. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Goodies Improv.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.